teach us, Lord. Lord, teach us, Lord. We are your sheep that you will teach us, Lord, after your own heart, Lord, the things in your heart, Lord. Father, that you will open our mind to the doctrine of the word of the Lord, that we will be free. You said you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, that your people shall be free by the truth of God's word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your wonderful presence. We give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we ask this prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so the spirit of enslavement. What is enslavement? So last Friday, the definition that the Lord gave me for enslavement is forced and manipulated mind control executed by fear. Enslavement is forced and manipulated mind control executed by fear. The people of Israel were forever enslaved to the gods of Egypt, to the spirits of Egypt. Though Moses delivered them from the physical Egypt and from the physical Pharaoh, brought them out of Egypt, was taking them to the promised land, but in the realm of the spirit, they were still enslaved to the gods of Egypt, to the masters of Egypt, to the spirits of Egypt. And so is the spiritual state of many Christians today, that they do not understand that they are enslaved to some things. They are enslaved because the Bible talks about it, and Apostle Paul talks about it to the Church of Romans. He says that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Now when we are set free, we are crucified with Christ, we were buried with Christ, we were raised together with Christ, we are set free. So we are not slave to anything. What is a slave? So before going into the enslavement, we have already covered a lot. What is a slave for those who are not there? And let me just begin summarizing some things. What is a slave? You cannot become a slave without a master. A master is the one that executes enslavement, that makes a person a slave. So masters are the one that carry out enslavement. So what is a slave? A slave is a slave to a master to whom he or she is obedient. If you start to obey someone, if you start to obey a voice, if you start to obey maybe a human being's voice, maybe an organization's voice, maybe a spirit's voice, maybe the voice that non-living things have, that means, when I say the voice of non-living things, I mean the voice of television, the voice of media, the voice of social media. When you start to obey those voices and ignore the voice of God, you don't know that you have been enslaved by something. You have been enslaved by the enemy, because the devil Lucifer is interested in placing taskmasters over you. The taskmasters can be a person over you. The taskmaster can be your job. The taskmaster can be money. The taskmaster can be your television. The taskmaster, these are taskmaster, that whatever they say to you, you are like a puppet. You are like a zombie that just obeys them without reason, without logic, without thinking whether it is benefiting you or not. You just obey them. That is enslavement. A slave is the one who obeys, a slave to the person to whom he is obedient to. That is what we saw in Romans chapter number 6 verse 16. We saw that in Matthew chapter number 6 verse 24. Romans chapter number 6 verse 16, Matthew chapter number 6 verse 24. In Romans chapter number 6 verse 16, Apostle Paul talks about that whoever you are obedient to, you are a slave to that thing. So since you are obedient to the devil, you are obedient to sin, you are obedient to the voice of your flesh, you were a slave of sin. But now we have been set free, and as Christians we realize that we are not slaves to anyone. Hallelujah. Any voice we are obeying, contradicting the voice of God, and we are ignoring the voice of God, rejecting what God is saying and becoming obedient. We are a slave to that thing, but we have to be obedient to the voice of God and be children of God. Hallelujah. Okay, so what is enslavement? I said enslavement is forced and manipulated mind control executed by fear. The first tool is force, I told you. And we already went into that. What is force? Force is you have to be obedient with or without your willingness. Otherwise, you will be tormented or persecuted. That is force. That is the first tool the devil uses. And we saw so many scriptures about that. How in the book of Exodus, the people of Israel, by force, they were afflicted. They were persecuted if they don't work. So that's why they submitted to the force of the enemy and they had to work. We saw in the book of Daniel how Nebuchadnezzar by force wanted to make Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego bow down before his idol. But they rejected the force of the enemy. They said, we are not afraid of what you will do to us. We are not afraid of your threats, of your force. You cannot make us obedient to you. We hold on that we will not bow down even if we die. That is how a Christian is supposed to be. When you are bold in the Holy Spirit and you reject the force, because the enemy, the first thing the enemy will use is force. If you don't do that, that is what will happen to you. So do you know some people, many Christians have quit. They are still believers. They say they are still Christians, but they no longer pray against demonic forces. Yes, they know there is spiritual warfare, but they say no spiritual warfare, no praying against demons, no speaking against altars. No. You know why they do that? Because they say if we pray against demons, the demons will attack us. So there is a force on them. The force is demons say to them, if you pray against us, we will persecute you. So that is a force that you have to be obedient to a voice without your willingness, because if you don't obey, you will be persecuted. That is a force. Hallelujah. Amen. In the book of Acts chapter number 4, we saw when John and Peter were preaching in the temple, the high priest and those people caught them and said, you should no longer preach in the name of Jesus. If you preach in the name of Jesus, you will be arrested, you will be beaten up. And Peter said to them, we cannot stay quiet of the things we have seen and we have witnessed and of the name of Jesus Christ. And you decide for yourself, whom should we obey? Should we obey your voice or should we obey the voice of our God who is asking us to do this? So we will not stop. Hallelujah. That is how a Christian is supposed to be. They should not be afraid of the threats of the enemy. They should not be afraid of persecution. They shall not be afraid of suffering, because that is the force that the enemy will use. If you don't do this, you will do that. Even in your office, you shall not be afraid. Even in your family, you shall not be afraid. Oh, your husband, your wife, or anyone doing things contrary to the word of God. Oh, no. If I tell my husband, your husband, your wife, or anyone is saying, oh, let's go, you know what? Let's see this movie. And you know that movie that you are going to watch is sexual. Is half naked people are there and all those things, and you know the Holy Spirit will be grieved, but no, because my husband should be happy, so the husband should not be angry with me, that's why I will sit there with my husband or with my wife and watch to please them. That is a force of the enemy. Are you understanding that? No, you have to say, I can spend time with you in dinner, I can spend time with you in other things, but I cannot go against the word of my Lord, against the convictions I have, by polluting myself with you. Do we understand that? But if you say, oh, no, my wife is asking me, I don't want to make my wife unhappy, otherwise she will not cook food for me, let me do whatever she wants, let me sit with her and do that, you are enslaved to the spirits of your wife. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? So a Christian needs to realize How to consecrate yourself, your family. The devil can work through your own family members and to pollute you, to enslave you. Hallelujah. Do we understand that? There is a force of the enemy that is working, and Christians are submitting to the force. But the Lord told me, not only we have to reject the force of the enemy and stand for the word of God. That is the first tool the devil will use to enslave you. But if you are able to overcome that, you will not go deep into the spirit of enslavement, into the bondage. If you at the first hand reject the force of the enemy, you are on the winning side. You will not be enslaved. No, I will not do whoever you are. My God does not command me to do that. I was working in the cooperate for 6-7 years. In the cooperate, they asked to do a lot of practice, a lot of religious activities and all those stuff. I stood up and said, I will not do that because it's against my God. It's against my word. I believe in Jesus. I don't believe in idols. That is an opportunity for you to evangelize, to talk about Jesus, to talk about what is your faith, to talk about the true and living God. Hallelujah. But Christians are so afraid. Oh, if I speak that, my boss will be unhappy. He will not give me promotion. That is how the devil manipulates you by force. If you don't do that, you will face this, you will face that. That is a force. So what is enslavement? Force and manipulated. We will come to manipulation after this. Mind control executed by fear. Okay, stay with me. So I told that Christians should not only be ready to come against the force of the enemy, say we will not do it, but Christians have the, listen to me, Christians have the power to force the devil and to force the enemy. Hallelujah. We have the power to, how the devil brings force on you, if you don't do this, this will happen and then you have to do it. You can force the devil to submit to the feet of Jesus Christ. How? By the rod of iron. We already saw in the book of Revelation, chapter number 12, verse 5, Psalm 2, 9, chapter 2, verse 9, that Jesus is coming with the rod of iron. What is the rod of iron? The rod of iron is the weapon of forcefully making the devil submit to the feet of God. The devil and his army and his people to submit, because the devil is a rebellious guy. He will, if you say submit to the word of God, he will not submit. Why will I submit? Because his fall was because of rebellion. He is rebellious. If you want to make a rebellious person submit to the word of God, you need to use the rod of iron. I have seen wicked people. I have faced wicked people, people who will never listen. I saw the rod of God bringing them into the submission to the feet of Christ. Hallelujah. However, the devil is forcing you, however wicked he is, however he is evil, and he is forcing you, you need to take up the position, first of all, to reject his force, and then come in a position to force him. Because the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. How? They don't like to confess that, but they have to confess that because of the rod of iron. Because if you don't confess, Jesus says, here I come to spank you with a rod. You will be beaten up, I am telling you. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. Many of us, we don't know to be aggressive with the enemy. We don't know to beat up demons. You should know to use the rod of iron. Beat up those demons. Okay. Hallelujah. You will be able to beat up those demons when you are free of emotional and soul ties with people. Only then you will be able to operate in that anointing of beating up demons that operate through men, beating them up, paralyzing them. That when they can do all the wicked works, cheat people, beat up people in the world, but when they come and stand before you, they will say, oh, the demons will be, because you are carrying a force, because of which the spirits are subject to the feet of Christ in you. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So believers have to understand, you should not be enslaved, beloved. One of the things that I said is, if you have the Spirit of God living in you, you will You will not let anything and anyone control you and rule you. If the Spirit of God is living inside of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Electricity went off here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, hold on.
You.
Yeah, that is, it's dark here. Hold on. Let me fix up. Yes. Okay, no problem. Hallelujah. Okay. You know, the devil cannot stop me from teaching the word of God. Listen to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So,
praise God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That is the force. That is a force that the devil, I said that if the Spirit of the living God is living in you, you will not let anything and anyone control you and rule you. You will not let anything and anyone control you and rule you except for the word of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Now, that is how that you can take this statement and you can spot out a difference between Moses and between the people of Israel. Though Moses was not trained in the things of the Spirit, but he was called by God, he was chosen by God. And the Bible says so clearly in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that by faith, Moses rejected the pleasures of Egypt. Moses rejected the authority of Egypt. He was not afraid of Pharaoh. And that's why he went and he killed an Egyptian. He killed an Egyptian to deliver the people of Israel. It says by faith, Moses rejected the authority, the pleasures or whatever Egypt offered him. And he wanted to be a part among the brethren, his own people, the people of Israel. But on the contrary, look at the people of Israel. The people of Israel are the best example to see how enslavement is executed. They never rose up and said anything against Pharaoh. They could not, you know, they said, okay, we are serving, we are doing hard labor, we are in bondage, but at least Pharaoh is giving us meat, at least Pharaoh is giving us good food, cucumbers, leeks, onions. We are getting all those stuff, you know what? And they were ready to do anything. They were ready to let a man rule over them. Because they were not having, but Moses, who had the Spirit of the living God, when a person has the Spirit of the living God, when they operate in the Holy Spirit, anyone trying to rule or control them, they will recognize quickly, and they will not let anything, anyone, any spirit rule and control them. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? Amen. There are so many ministries. And I have told, sometimes I have to tell those pastors who work with me, I said, stop. You are going on a way where you want to control me. I cannot be controlled by you. I am in subject to the Holy Spirit and His word. And you can only question me when I'm not doing things as per God. But you cannot apply your own things, your own ideas, your own rules over my life. You cannot do that. You cannot rule over me. And I will not even let you rule over the congregation or rule over the churches. You have to let the Lord rule over the congregation. Are we understanding? Many pastors are not pastors. They are pharaohs. We saw why does the devil enslaves you? If you are enslaved today, the Bible says that Pharaoh and the council came together and they decided to enslave Israel. You know why? Not because they were weak, but because they were so strong, and the Pharaoh was afraid that they will become stronger and one day come up against them. So people who are enslaved to people, they think because we are weak, we are enslaved. No, not because of you are weak. The devil has enslaved you because the devil knows that if you grow in the Lord, you will be a threat to the devil. That's why you are enslaved. So when that revelation comes to you, You are on your first step to get free from enslavement, because many people who are enslaved, who are controlled by factors, controlled by voices, controlled by people, they think that they are weak. They think that they have low self-esteem. They think they cannot do anything by themselves. They need the person. Without the person, they cannot do anything. That is why they are enslaved. Are you understanding that? Because you think you are weak, because you think. That's why your life is dependent on other people. Maybe your life is dependent on your husband, on your children, or your life is dependent on your job, on money, because you think that you cannot do it. You cannot do it. So you are dependent on a certain kind of source. Hallelujah. But you are being enslaved because you don't know yourself in Christ. When you know yourself in Christ, you will be free from enslavement because, hallelujah. Because you have to know that the devil is enslaving you because and causing an identity crisis, because the devil does not want you to know that the devil does not want you to know that you are a threat to his kingdom. And that's why he enslaves you, to keep you in bondage, so that you will never rise up or raise your voice against the devil and against his kingdom. Hallelujah. Okay, so that was force. We already covered force in the last sermon. And now, what did I say? What is enslavement? Forced and manipulated mind control. After force, the next tool that comes is manipulation. Everyone say manipulation. Manipulation.
Manipulation.
Manipulation.
Okay.
Manipulation.
This is the definition of manipulation that the Lord gave me. Manipulation is destroying the convictions you carry. Okay? What is manipulation? Manipulation is destroying the convictions you carry and twisting and adding and subtracting the information you have and you know from God. That is manipulation. This is the definition the Holy Spirit gave me while I was preparing for the message. What is manipulation? The manipulation is destroying the convictions you carry and twisting, adding, and subtracting the information you have from God. Are we together? After force, this is the next tool through which the devil can enslave you. The word that you know, the convictions you carry, okay? The revelations you carry. The devil will work with his doctrine. The devil will work with his doctrine and with his words, with his cunning speakings and utterance to destroy the convictions you carry about God. The knowledge that you carry about God. How? By twisting it. If he is successful to make you believe in a contrary doctrine, he has been successful to enslave you and make you a slave to sin and to himself. Are we together? Hallelujah. Okay, before going into the details of manipulation, let me read out a word to you that I spoke at the beginning of the sermon. Romans chapter number 6. Verse number 16, Romans chapter number 6, verse number 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the ones slave whom you obey? That is the definition of how you become a slave. You are a slave to the one whom you obey. Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Okay, the doctrine of the word of God can save you from manipulation. That's why blessed is the man who stands not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor walks in the paths of the sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That's why meditating on the word of God. Now many Christians have a wrong idea of meditation. Meditation is not the Buddhist meditation or the Hindu meditation, where you close your eyes, you make certain kinds of hand signs, and then you breathe in and you breathe out, and you think about something, you imagine. That there are many pastors. I was looking after a church, and a woman was there who used to be always in the forefront and take ladies meeting, women's meeting, whatever. And once when I was there, I heard the woman teaching the other woman in the church of how to meditate. And she said, okay, we are going to do meditation on the word of God. She said to all the women, close your eyes. They all closed the eyes. And then she said, all the women relax, and they relaxed. And then she said, to all the women, now imagine whatever I am telling you. Imagine that you are in a river. There is greenery around you. I mean, that is not meditation. Hallelujah. That is not meditation. And this is the river of God. Imagine you are in front of the throne of God. No, that is how they teach yoga. That is how they teach yoga to activate the demonic snake inside of you, the demonic senses inside of you. That is not meditation. Meditation starts with reading the word of God. And then after reading the word of God, you crucify your own ideas and ask the Holy Spirit to teach the word of God. Say to the Holy Spirit, my heart is open. Your words can prune me. Your words can break me, mold me. And always keeping on asking the Lord, I read this word. I did not understand the meaning. Can you teach me that? That is meditation. Any which ways. Meditating on the word of God is important because I don't want to be a victim of manipulation. I want to build my convictions. So when I have convictions in me, the doctrines of demons and the doctrine of men cannot sway me, or the traditions of men cannot sway me, because I know what I know about God. But manipulation comes in where the devil will destroy your convictions. You know what? You have been there in that meeting. But I want to tell you, if you want to grow fast, sister, if you want to grow fast, brother, you have to go to this prophet and get imparted by that prophet. And when he lays hands on you, your life will change. You will get your dream car. You will get this. You will get that. It's a form of manipulation coming to you that is breaking your waiting time and taking you away from the presence of God, from waiting on God to a faster process. That is manipulation. And the devil is master in that. You were convicted. God spoke to you. You wait on me until I speak to you. You are waiting. But in between, something comes. You have been waiting for so long, sister. You have been waiting for so long, brother. Can I recommend you a man? You can go and he lays hands and he will kick you, or you will bow down before him and whatever. You can kiss his feet and you will get the anointing. You will get what you want when you do that. That is destroying the convictions that you already heard from God. Are you understanding that? Hallelujah. The devil is afraid of a convicted person. The devil is afraid of a person who carries convictions. Convictions are truth that have pierced your heart. That is a conviction. So the devil is working against conviction. If you heard from God that God is going to do that and you are waiting for it, the devil will come in between many times and tell you it's not going to happen. Maybe you have to try a certain other road. Maybe you have to try this. It happened so much in my life, in my waiting time. And I'm still waiting on God for so many things. And the devil comes to me, oh, you know, nothing is happening. Maybe you have to go to that prophet. Maybe you need to get anointing from this, anointing from that. But I clearly remember what God has said to me and the way that he has shown me. I will never go to the right or to the left from that way by submitting to the manipulation of the enemy, because the devil wants to destroy my convictions. That is manipulation. He wants to add, subtract, and twist the information you have about God. Are we understanding? And once he is successful in doing that, he's successful in manipulating you. Hallelujah. For people who rejected force of the enemy, we will not do it. Even though we force, the second tool the devil will come to use against them is manipulation. Manipulation. Manipulation is the voice of the serpent. Remember the serpent saying to Eve, has God really said this? He wanted to twist the information they already had. Has God really said? And Eve said, yeah, God said, if you come, even if you touch the tree, you will die. And all sorts of things. He said, not necessarily you will die. You will not die. But God is insecure about you becoming like God and having information like God. So you need to eat the fruit. That is the serpent's voice. That is manipulation. Let's go. Let me show you. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. Verse number 1. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man. Okay, sorry. I'm Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That is the first entrance or the utterance of manipulation. Any person around you that makes you doubt what God is doing in your life is a manipulator. Are we understanding that? If you start to hear the voice of the person, the spirits of that person will start to enslave you. Has God really said? Why don't you? You know what? You should not wait. You see how fast people are growing, how fast their ministries are growing, and you are here, still here, waiting on God and preaching these things and all those things. People are not preaching, but they are growing. You see how fast? So anyone who comes and makes you doubt the process of God is a manipulator. Is a manipulator. So here is the serpent. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Verse number 2. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. That's not true, for God knows. That is how manipulation operates. You will be a victim of manipulation when you live in the realm of flesh. Everyone say that. I can be a victim of manipulation when I live in the realm of flesh.
I can be a victim of manipulation.
Yes.
Live in the flesh.
Yes. When I live in the flesh, I'm no one special. When I live in the flesh, I can be a victim of manipulation, because the manipulation that comes from the realm of flesh. Comes from the realm of flesh. Like what the devil said was true in the realm of flesh, but it was a lie in the realm of the spirit. Okay? What the devil was saying, the serpent was saying to Eve, it was true in the realm of flesh. It is a fact, but it was a lie in the realm of the spirit. When God told Adam that if you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. Now tell me one thing. Is God a liar? No. But the devil wants to make God look like a liar. How? Through the realm of the flesh. So when God said, if you eat, you will die, he is going to surely die when he eats it. But God was talking about spiritual death. When God defines death as the spirit of the Lord leaving a person. The person is as good as dead. But in the realm of the flesh, since the person is still breathing, the person is still making money, the person is still famous, and people are admiring the person is not dead in the realm of the flesh. But in the realm of the spirit, in the eyes of God, he is dead. That's why it's very important for a believer to have the eyes of God, to have the perspective of the spirit, and to walk in the spirit, to know things spiritually. So that you, when the devil comes to you, you shall not surely die. You tell the devil, you are a liar. God's word is true. But if you are in the flesh, that person is committing adultery, drinking alcohol, but still his ministry is growing. He did not die. The devil is true. When you live in carnal perspective, in carnal mind, you become a victim of manipulation. Are we understanding? So any Christian who has a carnal mind, who does not know to walk in the spirit, who does not know knows the mystery of God, they are 100% a slave. They are a slave. They are a slave to the devil. They are a slave to the voices of men. They are a slave to the voices of people. Are we understanding that? So he said, you shall not surely die. It was true. It was a fact that they will not physically die in the realm of the flesh. And because Eve was living in the realm of the flesh, she was a victim. She became manipulated. And then he said, you will not surely die, for God knows in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The other three sentences the devil said, I have already said, that's the serpent doctrine. That's the package. And that is mind control. We will come to mind control after manipulation. Okay? We will come to mind control after manipulation. So that is, are we understanding manipulation now? Manipulation is destroying your convictions and destroying the convictions you carry and twisting and adding and subtracting the information you have and you know from God. Hallelujah. I am telling you, the situations will become so dry and dull. It will all become boring, 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 boring. To obey the word of the Lord, you might, nothing will favor that, the word of God is true. But you shall have a conviction so strong in your spirit, man, that you still hold on saying, no, this is what God has spoken to me.
Amen.
Okay, hallelujah. That is how you will be able to overcome manipulation. Okay, to overcome manipulation, I have a scripture to give you. 2 Kings chapter number 18. Let's go there. 2 Kings chapter number 18. And let's start from verse number 14. 2 Kings chapter number 18. Let's start from verse number 14. Then Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, I have done wrong. Turn away from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will pay. And the king of Assyria assessed Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house. At that time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. So now this scripture will explain you very well about enslavement. So the first tool by king of Assyria was used against Judah king Hezekiah was force. If you don't obey, we will come and destroy you. So he submitted to the force and he gave from the treasuries of the Lord. He did not pray to God, but he gave from the treasuries, the gold, everything, you know, the expensive things, the gold and the talents of silver, the talents of gold and the gold that was there on the doors and the temple of the Lord. He took and gave us the king of Assyria because he did not want the king of Assyria to come and attack him or to capture him, to besiege him and to capture him. So Hezekiah gave in to the force of the enemy. But after the force of the enemy, King Assyria used manipulation. What manipulation? Let's look at that. 2 Kings chapter number 18, verse 17. Then the king of Assyria sent the Tartan, the Rabsaris, and the Rabshakeh from Lachish with a great army against Jerusalem to King Hezekiah. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. When they had come up, they went and stood by the aqueduct from the upper pool, which was on the highway to the fuller's field. And when they had called to the king, Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to them. Then Rabshakeh said to them, say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria. Now listen to what they are saying. What confidence is this in which you trust? You speak of having plans and power of for war, but they are mere words. And in him do you, and in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Now look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God. Okay, now he is manipulating. His servants are manipulating. If you say that you trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? Now therefore, I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses. If you are able on your part to put riders on them, how then will you repel one captain of the least of my master's servants and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Have I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. That is manipulation. Okay? They are saying, the servants of the king of Assyria are speaking to the people of Judah. If you think the Lord will save you, you say, we trust in the Lord. If we go to the Lord will help us. If we go to him in prayer, the Lord will help us. The Lord is not going to help you, even if you trust in him. Even if you build an altar, go at the altar, the temple of the Lord and pray to him, the Lord is not going to listen to you. So better you listen to me. And if you listen to me, I am going to give you some benefits. Let's see, verse number 26. That is how the devil manipulates. He tells you every day, why are you going to the prayer meeting? Why are you praying? Why are you doing this? You think the Lord will listen to you? You did not get an answer from so many years. Why are you going to pray? Rather, take up this way that I am showing you, and you will get better things than God. That is destroying your conviction. That is turning your heart and mind against prayer. Hallelujah. People of God, are you there? Say amen before we go ahead. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
That is manipulation. Yeah. Okay? That is manipulation. Verse number 26. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, Shebna, and Joah said to Rabshakeh, please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it, and do not speak to us in Hebrew, in the hearing of the people who are on the wall. But Rabshakeh said to them, has my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words, and not to the men who sit on the wall, who will eat and drink their own waste with you? Then the Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice in Hebrew and spoke, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, now listen to this, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you from his hand. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present and come out to me, and every one of you eat from his own wine, and everyone from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive groves and honey, that you may live and not die. Did you see that? So the devil manipulates you. Now, when I was reading, I read this scripture many times, you know, and many times previously I have spoken from this scripture. And once the Lord told me a prophetic word from this scripture, that that king Assyria, the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, is the devil, and his servants are the servants of the devil, the taskmasters. And the people of Judah is the congregation, and King Hezekiah, Isaiah signify the prophet, the pastor who lead the people in God's ways. And what the devil is doing? The devil is sending his servants, his masters, to manipulate the people of God. How they are manipulating the people of God? They are saying to the people of God, don't believe in that what the pastor is saying, who is making you trust in the Lord, who is leading you to Christ, who is helping you in your prayer life. Don't believe in that pastor. Listen to us. We will give you fast growth. We will give you fast progress. We will give you wonderful things that you want. That is what is happening in the scripture. Hallelujah. Do you see that? And that is what the devil is doing today. The devil is disconnecting the congregation from the voice of God. The devil is trying to disconnect the congregation by manipulating them from the voice of true prophets, from the voice of pastors who will make them trust in the Lord. He has no problem with those servants of God and with those pastors who are attaching the congregation to themselves and making them trust in a man. But he has a lot of problem with a servant of God, with a pastor, with a prophet who leads the people to trust God. What they are saying to the people of Judah in Hebrew, they are saying, we have not come to speak only to you. We have come to speak to the congregation. So that's why we are speaking in Hebrew. And they told the congregation, if you trust Hezekiah, the Hezekiah who has built the altar to the Lord and making you trust in the Lord, he cannot do anything. Neither can your Lord do anything for you. We are ready to take you and give you olives, honey, all the wonderful things, and a land like your own land. Hallelujah. So, verse number 33. Has any of the gods of the nations at all delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of... Okay, let's all skip all those things. We don't have time. So, verse number 36. But the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandments was, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of Rabshakeh. Okay, the congregation did not answer him, answer the enemies, answer the agents of Satan, because the king had told them not to answer them. So the congregation was obedient, and then they came. And they were crying, they were for what had happened, the threats of the enemy. You submit to us, otherwise we will destroy you. You know, that is a force. Then the manipulation. Don't listen to God. Don't listen to Hezekiah. Don't listen to him who makes you trust in God. Manipulation, destroying your conviction. You see force and manipulation right there to make them a slave. But Judah did not become a slave. And I decree and declare that the church will not become a slave to Satan, in the mighty name of Jesus, because hallelujah, we are exposing enslavement tonight. We are exposing enslavement tonight in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Second Kings chapter number 19. What happens? Second Kings chapter number 19. And so it was when King Hezekiah heard it that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. That is the sign of a humble man. A humble man will never take the threats of the enemy or the insults of the enemy to himself. He will direct it to the Lord. Okay? You are so easily offended. Because whatever people tell you, oh, he talked about me. He said that to me. It hurts your ego. And your ego is so alive. Your pride is so much that you carry offenses because you take everything that people say to you. In ministry, what I have learned and what God has taught me, whenever people say anything to me, they are not saying it to you, anything to you. They are not saying any those things to you, but to me, because you are representing me. So you route it to you, route it to God, because you are nothing. You route it to God. So that is what a Hezekiah is doing. Remember, God told that to Samuel. Samuel was very depressed and frustrated because of the people wanted a king. And God told Samuel, Samuel, they have not rejected you. They have rejected me. So all those things they told you, not to you, to me. So you have to realize that. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? If you are representing God, never take the insults and criticism of men to heart. Because they are not saying it to you when they say it to you. They are saying it to God. So that is what Hezekiah did. He went to God and he told God, God, they did not tell it about me. I did not take anything to heart. They are challenging you, God. Hallelujah. So when you bring into picture the glory of God, God will fight. Hallelujah. But how we pray, God, they are saying that about me. I am hurted, Lord. You know what? I am brokenhearted. They are criticizing me. I don't like those people. Those are childish prayer. But when you pray with humility and in the spirit, you understand who is fighting who. The devil is fighting God. Hallelujah. And then you don't become a victim of frustration in between. That is what Hezekiah prayed. Okay, now. Verse number 5. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of King of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So easy it was. Hallelujah. The Lord said, do not be afraid of the rumor. That king who has threatened you will go to his own land and fall by the sword in his own land and will be killed. Hallelujah. The enemy comes against you with a lot of information, threats, force, and manipulation. But out of 100% of what he is speaking to you, not even 0.1% shall come to pass in Jesus' name. Do you know that? If you understand to overcome manipulation. And how will you overcome manipulation? You see so much of threats, so much of things. That is how the enemy attacks. The enemy cannot even touch you like this, touch you. But what the enemy will do is feed you with manipulative information, feed you with threats, feed you with force. And though he is small, through the manipulation, he will make himself look big to you. That is how Goliath was. That Goliath could be defeated by one sling, one stone. But how big he was when he spoke, when he presented himself 40 days and nights to Israel. Israel was terrified. But there was a man called David, who was a man of revelation, who knew how to overcome force and manipulation. And who, before killing Goliath, prophesied what he will do. Because he had a revelation that Goliath is nothing before his big God. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is how you overcome manipulation. Whenever you detect that the devil is manipulating you, whenever you detect that the voices of people around you are manipulating you, trying to divert you, manipulation can be overcome by seeking the Lord with humility in the secret place and by building intimacy. Manipulation can be overcome because manipulation is a spiritual dark force that impacts your mind. So to overcome that, it can be overcome by seeking the Lord with humility in the secret place by building intimacy. By building intimacy. I told you what is intimacy. Whatever happens to you, you are heartbroken, you are cheated, but you go to God, God, this is what has happened with me, but I trust you. I know you are in control. That is why you are building intimacy in the secret place. You did not call your pastor. You did not call. I'm not saying don't give prayer requests, but you are building intimacy with the Lord. You are first going to God. You are first running to God. There are requests that can be cooperated. There are requests that God wants you to bring to him. Such threats that come against you. Such manipulation that comes against you. When Hezekiah was manipulated, he was not frustrated. Oh, how can he speak that? You know, he was not crying. He went to the Lord in the secret place and started to pray to the Lord. And sent people to Isaiah, because he had the prophetic mantle in that time, and told Isaiah also to pray, and told people around him to pray. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? That is what Daniel did when there was a threat to kill Daniel and his wife and the wise men. Daniel went to prayer and asked his friends to pray so that God will reveal to him. That is how you overcome force and manipulation. If you don't understand how to overcome force and manipulation, you will be enslaved. And the next thing that will hit you is mind control. Hallelujah. The next thing that will hit you is mind control. Everyone say mind control. Hallelujah. Okay. What I am teaching you are the real happenings that happen when the devil wants to enslave you. First, he will use force. Second, he will use manipulation, destroying your conviction, information about God. And the third, he will use mind control. Mind control is what these guys were speaking. We will give you olives, honey, give you a land like your own land, give you benefits. So when you get those benefits, you are started to get mind control by them. Okay. The next is mind control. And I believe I will not go into mind control today. So let me stop on manipulation. The next is mind control. And the fourth one is fear. Okay. The fourth one is fear. So I am going to cover mind control and fear. And then when you know all this, when you understand the definition of enslavement, and when you know how to overcome the factors, that is force, manipulation, mind control, fear, and even about the master of enslavement, chains will be broken in your life, I am telling you. Chains are already breaking in your life when you are hearing the words today. And I am telling you, people of God, at what you have heard tonight, if the enemy is forcing you to do something, you need to stand up against him. And you need to understand you have the rod of iron. You know why David was able to defeat and kill Goliath? Because he had a rod, a staff in his hand. And that signifies that David, the staff, the rod signifies the rod that Moses carried. That we are, the rod signifies, the rod that Christians have signify that Christians are not only supposed to be in the defensive line in the battle, but Christians are attackers. Christians can even torment the enemy. Christians can torment demons. Christians can bring down Goliaths, can bring down Nebuchadnezzars. Yes. And second thing, manipulation. I'm telling you, in many of our lives, in many of your lives, the devil is working to destroy your convictions. But protect the convictions of the word of God you have. I am telling you, trust in the word of God. Trust in the promises that God has given you. Hallelujah. Trust. Hallelujah. And the devil is trying to, if he is not able to destroy convictions altogether, he is trying to twist the word that you believe in. And we need to stand up against this wiles of the enemy tonight. The devices of the enemy, force and manipulation, that is the beginning of enslavement. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I decree and declare that no chains tonight can hold your people in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I decree and declare every ancient chains, every ancient yokes, every ancient shackles will be broken upon your people tonight in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I ask you, Lord, for the outpouring of the Spirit of God. I ask you, Lord, for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I ask you, Lord, for the powerful move of the Holy Spirit in the lives of your people, that they will not walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. And when they carry your Holy Spirit, they will reject the rule of men. They will reject the rule of demons. They will reject the control of what Lucifer what the devil wants to place over them. In Jesus' mighty name, that they will not be people of low self-esteem, afraid, fearful, weak. No, that is not, no, that is not a Christian. Lord, that they will be people, Lord, who will know who they are in the Lord, who will know that they carry the Spirit of the living God, and no one can control them. No one, oh, Rabaka, Zeketeba, Yamamon, Derebe. Lord, I pray for your church. Even today, even as we read in the Bible, Rabshakeh and all those agents of Sennacherib who came against Judah, and they were manipulating the congregation. Even today, the devil is manipulating the congregation. They are saying, don't listen to the pastor who is making you trust in the Lord. Don't listen to him who is taking you closer to Christ. But we come against the words of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that they are not threatening your servants, but they are coming and challenging your power, Lord God. Lord, come in your mighty power and destroy those demonic agents, Lord, who are the agents of manipulation. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we send fire against the agents of manipulation. We send the rod of iron against the agents of manipulation. In this group, every spirit that is manipulating your people every day, oh, that is taking them away from prayer life, that is taking them away from the voice of the true servant of God, that is taking them away from the word of God and destroying their conviction, I come against every manipulative spirit and I release the fire of the Holy Spirit over them. I release the torment of the Lord. Get out of the lives of people. Leave the lives of people in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Raval Zakataraba. Lord, every spirit, maybe it is in their family, maybe it is in the among their immediate relatives or family members, Lord, around them, every voice that is of manipulation and force, every person that is trying to control them, and slowly, slowly your people are becoming weak and becoming more and more submissive to those voices, becoming a slave. I break the spirit of enslavement in Jesus' name. The Bible says, we have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but the spirit of adoption with which we cry out, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The spirit of bondage is the spirit of enslavement, and we have not received that spirit. Hallelujah. We are not afraid of the enemy. People of God, hallelujah. Ray, you are the children of the Lion of Judah. Ray Bansian, you carry the DNA of Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb, yes, but he is also the Lion. Hallelujah. When the Lion roars, when the Lion roars, the enemy, Ray Krebelsia, does not even come near. The enemy runs away. And tonight you need to roar. And you know what is the voice of the roaring? The voice of prayer that you utter in the realms of God. You need to roar like a lion tonight. Hallelujah. You need to utter prayer. You need to know that who you are. In the name of Jesus, you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. You are the one who is given authority to trample over snakes and scorpions, and nothing by no means shall harm you. You shall lay hands over the sick and they shall get healed. You shall pray and you shall drive out demons. Hallelujah. And even if you drink poison, if the enemy feeds you and tries to kill you, even the poison shall not kill you. Oh, that is who a believer is. That is who the believer is. And the Bible says, the church shall come against the gates of Hades, and the gate shall not prevail against the church. Father, restore back your people here tonight. Restore back this body of Christ to their position and to their authority, that they will be free of enslavement. They will be free of manipulation of force, Lord. And even in the coming days, when we listen about mind control, Lord, I pray that you will give utterance, Lord. I pray that people, when they come, they will come hungry and thirsty, wanting to hear more, that your spirit will overflow in this place, Lord. Your revelations will overflow in this place. Your utterance will overflow in this place. And Lord, no one hearing these sermons will be a slave. Hallelujah. We will no longer be a slave to sin. We will no longer be a slave to the devil or to any voice or to fear. Yes, Lord, we are free and we are set free to worship you now to fulfill righteousness. We are set free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We want to give you the praise, honor, and glory. Hallelujah. We cover all of us with the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. And people of God will shout amen, will shout hallelujah, will sound the sound of victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.